So I'm very happy to be here with all of you and with all of my godbrothers at the legacy of Srila Guruji. My first meeting with Srila Guruji was in 1975. Before I met him, I heard so many amazing things about this personality who I had come to want to meet more than anything. And especially during those days, he had formed a party with Vishnu Janan Swami called the Vanadana or Chaming Sankirtan Party. And as many of you even know personally or have read, this Chaming Sankirtan Party was a divine manifestation of the potency of Lord Chaitanya coming through the civil succession. It was the most amazing phenomenon we had experienced in ISKCON to that date, other than, of course, the phenomenon of Srila Prabhupada himself. So we were hearing so many amazing things about this party. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to say today, what came to mind more than anything was a certain pattern in Srila Gurudev's activities within ISKCON, which portrayed his empowerment as a visionary, as a creative personality, as someone who's yes, very much empowered to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings and Prabhupada's teachings and apply them according to time, place, and circumstance in such a way that a wonderful manifestation of Krishna consciousness would be there. And so that first manifestation that I experienced was seeing what he had done with that traveling Sankirtan party. Previous to that, we knew that we were supposed to travel to preach. Prabhupada liked that very much. Devotees are doing festivals, devotees are distributing books. But never before had there been a combination of a book distribution, festival party, and devotee making party. Never before. And I was seeing how Krishna empowered Srila Gurudev to organize this whole party in such a way that it was enlivening everybody in the country. So finally, I was managing the temple in San Diego. Finally, we got word that the Radha Damodar party was coming to San Diego, and all the devotees were very, very excited. Because these devotees, although we had never met them, they were like the heroes, especially the heroes of the Brahmacharis. Not so much the heroes of the Grihasthas, but definitely the heroes of the Brahmacharis. And yes, for all the Grihastha preachers as well. So we were very excited to meet them and just to see how they did everything we were hearing about. So I remember when they came in this big, huge bus. And of course, it's the dream of every Brahmachari. We want to travel in this big, huge bus everywhere in the land and then chant and preach the glory of the Lord. So the bus pulled up, everybody was so attracted, and they arranged their schedule in a very interesting way. As it turned out, they worshipped Radha Damodar for Mangalarti at 5 o'clock. And it just happened to be after our Mangalarti. And they just happened to make it known that everyone in the temple was invited to their Mangalarti, especially the Brahmacharis. So, it was an amazing experience watching Vishnu Janan Swami do the deity worship in this poetic, graceful way. And and we were all so enlivened just to be there. And the way they had classes, Talakrishnamurti would speak a verse and talk a little, and Bishop John Swami, they go back and forth, they're so dynamic. No question of falling asleep or getting bored or tired. And it also so happened that they, their main preparation for breakfast was a big, huge challah that they would make, which just so happened to be the favorite preparation of all the brahmacharis as well. So then we went out on the festival party. It was so attractive. You've heard the taste, or there were probably CDs by now. And the way they arranged it was that Dr. Krishnamurti would be at the festival site at the college for a while, and then he would retire to his bus. And all the other devotees would be preaching. Bishop John Swami would be leading the chanting, giving beautiful, beautiful lectures. And the devotees would be on the lookout for potential bhakti candidates. And whenever they would find somebody, they would tell them all about this wonderful bus, and then they'd get to meet Tamal Krishnamurti, the leader. And so they would take him to the bus, which was parked off campus. And you know, whenever you got in a one-on-one with Srila Gurudev, you know who would always win. So it was amazing the way he would preach to these people who had never seen Krishna consciousness before. Somehow or other, he would get them to join the bus, shave their heads, and become brahmacharis practically overnight. It was the most amazing experience that I had ever had. So I was seeing how empowered his personality was. Not just for nature devotees, but to have not just one bus or two or three or four. I think they had six altogether at one point. Making all the net, developing the book distribution party, expanding the book distribution party, the best party in America, and then the devotee making party to make more devotees than all the other temples combined. Organizing all of this, administrating it, and having it increase more and more. It was obvious to me that this personality is divinely empowered, wonderful servant of Srila Prabhupada. And so he set the pace. He made a blueprint for preaching in America, the festivals, the devotee making, etc., the book distribution. With that, Krishna consciousness expanded like anything in this country. And I was thinking, somehow or other, either because of my relationship with him or Krishna's divine arrangement, when he left San Diego, all the brahmacharis stayed in San Diego, which was like a first for any of the temples that he had. So then, after that, I had the great fortune to come in around 1980 to Dallas and Houston, because I was very attracted to Maharaj and I wanted to participate in the zone in some way. I was very happy to see another godbrother there, especially during those times, which were pretty turbulent times in this kind of Texas also. And I saw what he had done in this temple room. Because I had seen the temple room before in the 70s. And just to see what he had done here and what he had done in the restaurant also, creating the restaurant, and what he was wanting to do in Houston, just made me realize that he was using his empowerment now in his creativity. He was focusing it on in this particular area, and during that time he said, I love construction. I just love construction. He used to have a construction crew, a permanent construction crew that would go between Dallas and Houston. And he was saying he just loved construction. So once again, his empowerment was being manifested in Krishna's service. And then after that, I'm remembering in India, I'm not sure if I have this exactly right, but the Virjan Prabhu, I think it was him, perhaps you were innovating in that area too, the VIHE, the Diamond Institute for Higher Education. they formed a little institute where some devotees would be able to go and learn, concentrate in an organized way, systematic way, studying Prabhupada's books. We hadn't done that before. And then when Srila Gurudev heard about that and became interested in it, he brought it to another level, because whatever he was into, he has the entire personality that he was able to draw so many other people into whatever he was into. Because of his enthusiasm, his ability to convince others, and inspire others in Krishna consciousness in any given particular way. So when he became interested in the VIHA, devotees from all over the world started going. And it expanded like anything. It became like the most desirable thing to do. Go to India and study at the VIHG. So that was another remarkable achievement, bringing that VIHG up to an international level of popularity. And then that was going on for a while. And then Srila Gurudev got another inspiration. And that was Mandala Parikrama. Kirtan, not just studying, but putting the studying into action. Chanting the holy name, getting absorbed and hearing and chanting in all the holy places of pilgrimage. So, once again, when he got into it, he got everybody else into it. Not all the senior devotees, because Lokanath Swami, I saw he was, he remained living very, very simply with all the other devotees, sleeping on the floor and in all these other places where the devotees would stay on the periphery, because that's where he grew up, that's where he lived. But for us Western souls, we all had our tents, two-man tents, four-man tents. Of course, you knew they had the biggest tent, had a big enclosed patio on his tent, and he would invite his godbrothers in the evenings, we would be hearing and chanting. And so that was a new thing to do. When you go to India, Guru Mandal Parikrama. So he had everybody in that very, very excited to be going. So he brought the level of Krishna consciousness in our society up another several notches, like he would do with everything he got involved with. I remember when he got involved with Ekadasi. You might remember that. He got the realization that we really needed to follow Ekadasi and bring it to the highest level. So they really did it for quite some time. Nirjal, staying up all night, hearing and chanting. I'm not sure how long that went on for. And there were so many devotees all over the world. They were following their Kadashi in that way, and they did the best they could to practice these austerities of refraining and from eating and sleeping, and also from and absorbing themselves in Hari Katha, which is another beautiful contribution, and still devotees are doing that whenever they can. So I'm just seeing in all these different ways, I just wrote a few of them down, I wanted to be sure. Oh yes, and I had the occasion of traveling with Maharaj to the Far East, and we went to Hong Kong. And I was seeing how they were teaching yoga there. That was their main preaching, teaching yoga. And by teaching yoga, they would do it in such a way that they would make devotees. That's how they made all the devotees. That's how they expanded the movement. And no one had ever done that, anything like that before. And it was controversial among conservative elements. And I was seeing how, firsthand, how Krishna consciousness was being spread in a very real way by this. At first, indirect approach, but not so indirect, because within the teaching of yoga, they were learning mantras, etc. These people were becoming full-on doctors. Even today, it's still controversial doing something like that. And many devotees are discovering, hey, yoga, that's the thing to do. Shogur, they discovered that decades ago. So another instance where Krishna was empowering them to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement in Kali Yuga, and he was telling me at one point he was deciding what to do next, and I was suggesting certain things. He said, I already did that. So what about this? I already did that. He said, I'd like to do something new. And we'd have to do something new and different. So, and Krishna would always inspire him to come up with something wonderful and new and different. At the same time, completely relevant to us becoming Krishna conscious and spreading Krishna consciousness. So those are just, yeah, and then just one last thing. What he's done here, the idea of having houses, get jobs, have their houses, make money, that was also a new thing in his town. For some of the new devotees, it might be hard to understand it, but previously this town was just going home with devotees living in the temple. Grihastha is also living in the temples, either separated or in the Grihastha ashram. And that was the thing to do, just dedicate yourself fully. And he was saying that it just wasn't practical. He was saying that when most of the other devotees weren't saying that at all. And then he started talking about setting up these Grihastha communities, focusing on that. And because of that, because of his vision, we have this community here today, and in the Houston community as well. And I just feel so fortunate every time I come here, I go to Houston, and Kargar Muni Guru, no, it wasn't Kargar, who's the Chagra Guru was the same, that every piece of wood, every brick, every wall, everything, is a manifestation of Srila Gurudev's Krishna consciousness and his desire to spread Krishna consciousness and help the devotees who are already on the path to become more and more Krishna conscious and establish themselves nicely as devotees. So I always become, as not as when I'm in Dallas or Houston, especially when a day that goes by that I don't remember this, and with such great gratitude that Srila Gurudev has created, everything is created in the world, and especially in this smaller world here of the Texas Krishna community. So, Srila Gurudev, thank you so much for being instrumental in my own personal Krishna consciousness, and thank you so much for being not just the guru of all the devotees, but the dear friends who always like to, as we say on the East Coast, chuck and jive with all the devotees and all of your disciples. Just one last thing that always struck me. At 4 o'clock every day, Srila Gurudev would go for his walk. He worked very hard during the day, writing, managing, etc. But at 4 o'clock, he always goes for his walk, and that's when he'd be the most relaxed. And I had the occasion to walk with him on various times. And it was so nice to be with him during that time, because he just wanted to be with the devotees, and the devotees knew that they would always come out, say a few words. He'd spend time with the kids, spend time with the older devotees, and just be so relaxed and personable, and that's the side of Gurudev that certainly everybody loves. Some love the most, and it's something we all need, and he was always right there to give it, so that's another deep feeling of appreciation that I have. So thank you very much. Srila Gurudev ki jai.